it's John from the Cricket Yorkshire podcast. Hope you're well. In this episode, what we're going to do is chat about recycled plastic. Now, the reason for that is one of my website partners is a company in West Yorkshire called British Recycled Plastic. And I came across them really by chance, discovering their products and thought they were a very good fit for sort of recreational cricket and potentially have helped grassroots cricket clubs. So I got in touch, and long story short, we're now a website partnership. And I thought I'd have a chat with Jason Elliott, who's the MD of the company there, to understand a bit more about recycled plastic, some of the issues around it and some of the benefits, and obviously how it could be used in a setting for grassroots cricket. So sit back, enjoy, have a cup of tea or maybe a beer or a wine or whatever you've got to hand. Unless, of course, you're on a tube or train somewhere, in which case you may not have any of those. Enjoy the podcast, and I'll see you in a bit. Thank you for joining me on the call, Jason. For those who don't know about British Recycled Plastic, can you give me a bit of an insight into the company, what you do, and, I suppose, ultimately, what you sell?
We started in 2008. And initially, we were involved in a few other different elements of refurbishment and general building trade, but with looking at projects with high environmental standards, things that reduce the energy expenditure of buildings. And we came across recycled plastic as an element of grids that were used, driveways that were porous, to use as an alternative of to tarmac, because obviously coming from the Calder Valley, flooding has always been a problem, so it's something that's been uppermost in our minds just by default, really, for forever here. And that sort of led us into down the rabbit hole of recycled plastic generally. And so where we've gone from that is we're now probably the most visible, highest profile sort of supplier of recycled plastic outdoor furniture, things like benches, picnic tables, but also planks and posts, which get used for things like boardwalks or for steps. There's some over at Flamborough Head where they've because the wood that they were using in the steps there was just kind of corroding away all the time, obviously. Anywhere where there's harsh conditions, something like recycled plastic is absolutely perfect. Basically, outdoors, particularly in the north. And, you know, it's used by bowling clubs at the edge of the greens to kind of outlast wood where the balls are hitting against it. It gets used for fishing platforms. But most commonly would be just the bog standard, common garden, outdoor furniture, whether you're looking at benches or picnic tables. Those are the all sorts of other stuff as well. And we've been doing that now for 15 years. I suppose we should actually put something on the website going, yay, 15 years.
Yeah, you should.
We're outward looking business really rather than inward. So, it's only as I've actually sort of said that to you now that I've realised, so it's 15 years. In fact, it's more than that now. And we supply a lot of cricket clubs all over the country and a lot of other sporting organisations, including kind of some of the Premier League football clubs as well, like with different bits and pieces. There's some that's just gone to Tottenham Hotspur to make raised beds for growing of the food that they then feed their players and training staff on.
Oh, wow.
So we're all over the place, really.
Yeah.
We're particularly interested always in what's going on our local doorstep. So,
well, you've got a good you've got a good area. I mean, Halifax in terms of cricket is about as condensed as it gets. You know, we've got those pockets in Yorkshire, whether it's Sheffield, Bradford, Huddersfield, Halifax. You know, from where you're based, if you go, I don't know, 10 miles in every direction, you're going to come across all sorts of cricket. Yeah, it's a bit of a hot spot.
There's a cricket club in probably about 500 metres from here, something like that.
Yes.
In fact, Mytham Road Cricket Club.
Yeah, yeah.
And we've got some stuff going down there at the moment. So yeah, it is, and Yorkshire is really the home of cricket, you know, regardless of what the West Indians, the Indians, the people in Essex and Surrey might say. We know, you and I know, that Yorkshire is the cradle of cricket, isn't it, really?
Of
It's
course, of course.
very late.
And I guess I'm interested with different aspects, but let's start with the practical. So if you're a cricket club, we love wood, that it's in our bats, it's everywhere, any cricket ground you go
Absolutely.
to, and that's fine. But particularly pertinent given the weather's been particularly dreadful at the moment. Something that's weatherproof, durable, minimal effort to clean. You know, I've gone to hundreds of clubs around Yorkshire, and you know, a nice, I'm all for a nice wooden bench, but after a while it looks a bit tired and then it splits. And then, you know, as you say, if it's near the coast or wherever it is, just stays outside, it needs looking after. So it's, I like the way you're turning, literally in your tagline, from waste to wonderful. What's seen as a negative, obviously, with plastic and the perception of it, into something we can reuse, and it does have benefits, doesn't it?
When I'm talking to people about it, I'm only really, I am interested in the sustainability and the environmental protection side of things. And however, what I'm primarily interested in is supplying a top-drawer engineering product that will outperform its competitors in a variety of situations, whether that's concrete, steel, or timber. And it tends to be used as an alternative to timber more than anything else. But the lifespan now of softwood is incredibly short because it's been growing faster and faster. They found faster ways to sort of to throw up a fir tree in Norway or Poland or Estonia or whatever. And of course, ultimately that does get them wood cheaper onto the market faster, but what it means is that because it's being grown faster, it will decay faster. The whole that it's far less compressed and far less dense. So realistically speaking, if you've got standard timber outside that's not hardwood, you're seeing negative effects and degradation within probably about 3 to 4 years now, and it's unusable after about 7 or 8. And or certainly not if you've got any kind of public liability insurance anyway, and you're wanting people to sit on it. So as an alternative to that, we get guarantee ours for 20, which is kind of like an arbitrary figure, really. We could guarantee it for 50 years, but you know, on careful advice, we've been told that 25 is like, yeah, that's more than plenty. The reality is that these things are likely to last much longer than that, more like 100 years, quite possibly longer than that too. So where I see it fitting into the market is particularly with people who are just sick and tired of replacing stuff, or alternatively having somebody go out there and repaint everything every year. And you know, if you've got timber, sure, you can mitigate against the effects of the weather by treatment and by painting. And obviously, some of those types of paints and types of treatments are no longer possible because of environmental protection as well, because of the amount of nasties that they've got in them. So in that situation, because our lumber, for want of a better word, is chemically inert, it doesn't really break down, and everything that's kind of bad about plastic in the environment can actually be turned on its head to be good about it. So the fact that it's environmentally pervasive, you know, it hangs around for such a long time, that, you know, if you take that quality and repurpose it from being waste, dead stuff, things that have outlived their use, and turn it back into something that's actually got a new lease of life, like it wins on so many different aspects, so many different fronts. And from the perspective of a sports club, the amount of time and effort that these guys put into maintenance and fixing stuff up and dodging things to try and sort of like get another year out of it, you know. And bear in mind that the majority of people in sports clubs, as far as I'm aware, are all volunteers. They're all doing this voluntarily. You might have one person who gets you know, like a little, you know, a little consideration. But on the whole, these are volunteers. And to be fair, if they're there, there are other things that they could be doing rather than just like trying to get another year out of some rotten benches and picnic tables.
Yeah.
And the other thing as well, that talking to people in your game is that actually where do they make the money? And the money really does seem to be from things like people's birthday parties and wedding receptions, actually, and after-match events. And so it's very much from that sort of social, creating a nice social environment that, that I think clubs can benefit from the furniture.
Yeah.
Because obviously, you know, it's all well and good sitting on a wooden bench if it's a new one, or if it, even if it's a couple of years old. But after that, they're all a bit like,
Do I want to sit here? I was interested in specifically for sports clubs. Obviously, I partner with your company through Cricket Yorkshire, and I've been writing some articles around how cricket clubs, why they bought them in the first place, but also aspects like the memorial side. So Settle Cricket Club spring to mind, Wolsdon. And I thought that was a really good way of addressing, you know, talking to the chair at Settle, and he was like, we just don't have enough seating. It sounds obvious, but, you know, they get busy, they get good crowds in, and certain people come in and maybe they've got mobility issues and are looking around, we haven't got enough seats. So he wanted to fix that, but also it was a great opportunity to kind of, do a bit of a fundraising push to help with the cost of it from a cricket club perspective, but also people like somewhere to go to remember a person, and particularly someone who likes cricket. So you see them often at cricket grounds anyway. And I just thought that was a very good blend between involving the community and fixing kind of practical stuff.
It's an excellent idea, really. So if you're actually getting members or parts of the community anyway, who are like assisting with the overall well-being of a community organisation, and remembering a loved one with something that's actually going to outlast them in most cases. Because this is the thing, is nearly everybody who buys any of our products, whether they're buying stuff for a boardwalk, for a wildlife trust, or for a council, or for a cricket club to get a memorial bench, the people buying the product are going to be outlasted by the product. So that inbuilt obsolescence that we're used to now in the 20th and 21st century, where, the whole idea of consumerism is that actually you buy an iPhone, but you've got to buy another one in 2 years' time. That's got rid of. So when it comes to memorialising somebody, you know that, like, if you do it once properly, that's it. That's all you need to worry about. And then it's your grandkids, maybe, who might have to sort of like look at replacing it, possibly, maybe not, but maybe it's their grandkids. It's that longevity thing. And the whole point of remembering someone, really, is that you remember them for as long as possible.
Yeah, it just struck me as a very good way of involving lots of parts of the community, fixing a problem around capacity at a ground. And that's, I think, what I like about your products is that they tick a few very key and important boxes in cricket specifically at the moment. I've done a couple of articles for you around kind of reviewing products and that kind of stuff. So the inclusivity, for a start. So a lot of your products, there's cutouts, so if someone's got wheelchair access, or if you have mobility issues and you don't want to swing your leg over a bench, to get in and out. It sounds obvious, but I see that kind of design all the time. So it's very easy.
It ought to be obvious.
But you've thought about that, and it is it's very relevant for kind of sports clubs, cricket clubs. So I like that. And then, yes, the environment, and also actually there's been funding in the past, certainly, for kind of creating welcoming environments or something similar, as how they termed it. And so, yeah, it hits those. I'm not sort of saying your products are guaranteed to get funding centrally or anything else, but there are pots of funding available to help. You know, if a club is thinking, oh, I'd like to do that, but .. It's like, well, you know, there are ways and means now that some of these are trending topics, I suppose.
It's very true. Obviously, we all know that money's being tight. Sure, there are things that there are no longer, you know, there's odd things that there is no funding for, but there's still a lot of funding out there. But you just have to be, people have to be a little bit proactive and have a little look. So the person who's a volunteer in the cricket club, who was previously kind of basically painting old rotting wooden benches, they can actually just spend their time like digging around for funding pots, and that would be far more productive for the club.
Yeah,
because like you say, that money is there, and particularly when it comes to trying to include other people, as much inclusion as possible is always it is always a good starting point when you're looking for funding.
Yeah.
And all of our, and we've had, not just as a business decision, but as a philosophical decision since the get-go, that all of our standard products are available in an accessible version if that product itself isn't already kind of highly accessible. So whether you want a kind of big round standard picnic table for sort of eight people to sit around, there's a version of that with cutouts for wheelchair accessibility. And with the other thing with wheelchairs is that the we've seen tables where they have like extra long ends so that wheelchairs can get underneath, get their knees under. But we've never gone down that route. Well, that's not entirely true. About 10 years ago, we did have one which we kind of experimented with a little bit. And then what I realised from that was that actually, yes, the wheelchair user gets a seat at the table, but they're at the end of the table and they're in a really, you know, like it's very much, they're apart.
Yeah.
And so we've always designed our stuff so that the wheelchair user, if they're sat at the picnic table, is sat in the same way that everybody else is. So it is very important to have that element of inclusion, and I just hope that other people, it might sound strange from a business perspective, but I really just hope that everybody else copies us.
There are lots of elements to what you do which I hadn't thought about before we started to work together. I think the word, just saying the word plastic to some people makes them shudder, and they, you know, if it's recycled, they maybe dismiss it in a way that, well, frankly, they should look into it a bit more and see it, the benefits in lots of practical ways, environmental ways that we talked about. And a couple of things that I saw, which, to be honest, they're a bit sad, but they absolutely apply to club cricket. One is that your products are hard to graffiti, which it shouldn't be the case, but I see it all the time. I have, you know, hundreds, if not thousands, of cricket clubs that follow what I do on social and everything else. And, you know, every year without fail, all across Yorkshire and all across the country, clubs get broken into and vandalised, and various stuff destroyed, or someone that has a good go at it. So just having, you know, obviously a solution like that in terms of, say, seating outside that is weatherproof but also isn't an easy way for someone to spray or ruin is a great tick for me, I think. And the other one struck me was security. Again, you know, anything not literally nailed down in some places, unfortunately, is a target. And again, you thought of that with, you know, something that could be presumably robustly screwed to the floor.
Well, even if it's not, to be fair, the standard bog standard picnic table, the full focus, if you like, of the range, which is the Denon standard A-frame picnic table, it weighs 110 kilos, which is, you know, that's the weight of a prop forward. Like, so, like, it can't just arbitrarily picked up by a couple of the guys on the way back from the pub
Yeah.
and put in the canal with the shopping trolleys. It's just too heavy. But we also do supply ground anchoring kits for hard and soft surfaces as well. But the actual thing itself is you with six guys probably, you could sort of you might be able to take it a little bit, but they wouldn't really want to go further than about 25 yards before they gave up anyway. And so just from that, from the security perspective, yeah, it's a completely different ballgame. And obviously as well, it's not just guys, it's like extreme weather as well. Like they're not going anywhere. So from that, and they, because it like I said at the beginning, it's chemically inert, so it's not degraded by salt in the air if you're near the coast or anything like that. And that also, that being chemically inert, means that if it's spray painted, then the paint just essentially sits on the top, so it can just be jet washed off or scrubbed off with a kitchen cleaner and a scouring pad or whatever. And the same also applies to marker pens and things like that. And it's difficult to not sort of like roll your eyes and throw your hands up in the air when you see vandalism. There's very complicated root causes for these things that we don't really want to go into, but it's more about like how do we deal with it when it happens, because it is going to
It
happen.
is
And
gonna,
this
yeah,
gives you a
exactly.
much, much better chance of sprucing things up afterwards than other materials, really.
Yeah.
So,
Well, I've thought of a very good potential client for you, if only you can persuade them. A cricket club that springs to mind is just outside Bridlington. So I've walked there a few times. So you walk from the centre of Brid up the coast. Just outside is a cricket club called Sowerby. And I think I would say, anecdotally, it has the most benches of any ground I've ever seen. Certainly at
Really?
grassroots. So I think I counted 100, but I could be wrong, maybe more.
Wow.
But they're all those sort of stone and I guess concrete bases, painted white, everything else. So that would be a great client for you. I need to persuade them because I'm sure they get a bit weather beaten. It's a very nice spot, but it's right on the edge of the coast. You literally look down into Brid.
The concrete will suffer from the salt as well. Concrete, it will do in a way that ours won't. But obviously, these things do require a lot of investment, and our products are, two or three times the price of a B&Q alternative. Obviously, they're going to last many more years than the B&Q alternative. But but it does, like with all things, you've got to get the money together in the first place. So, and with 100 benches, they need someone like digging around in the grant funding pots.
No,
That's the thing. And
sure.
probably, I'm sure that I know that there's money for coastal towns, and so presumably there'll be money for community facilities within coastal towns as well, particularly when it comes to sports, because like part of the, I don't know, this conversation's kind of, I don't want it to sort of go off too far into sort of like what's wrong with society at the moment, but I was listening to an interview with the government's chief medical officer on the radio a couple of days ago, where and it was around the smoking thing, but they turned it on to the what they considered was a time bomb of obesity, and how like in 10, 15 years that's going to become like a major pinch point for the NHS. And obviously one of the problems is that we have a far more sedentary lifestyle. We sit down like for our work for so many, such a large percentage of the population that would previously have been up and about. So getting people to participate in sporting events and sporting activities, like or just things that make them move, like it's in the national interest. So, like, there is funding that is specifically targeting kind of a community sports club. My wife set up a boxing club
Oh, yeah.
far from here, and they get grants from Sport England, they get grants from England Boxing, they get grants from Colindale Council. They spend a bit of time looking around, and it makes the club able to provide facilities for free for people who haven't got the means to pay for it. Taster sessions, inclusion sessions, 6 week courses of this. And I'm sure it's going to be the same with cricket clubs, because I think it just seems to be something that as a society, like the powers that be, have got the purse strings, are waking up to the fact that actually, what was just seen as like a sort of little luxury of kind of these guys batting and ball around on the village green, actually could be a really key element in safeguarding the future health of the entire country. Not sort of
No, I agree.
kind
I agree.
of
Naturally, I agree. I love cricket. And you're right, in so much as the format that was once the only format, and sort of playing for many, many hours in whites. And I've done that for decades myself, league cricket, and that's an important part. But there's just lots more formats now. You can play evening league cricket, you can, junior cricket, and All Stars and Dynamos for kids as young as, I don't know, five or whatever. So there's something for everyone in a way that maybe there wasn't not too long ago. One thing.
Our local cricket clubs are massive with kids. There's all sorts of kids teams now here, so they're really kind of like there's a wave of support really, like intergenerationally. Which is really good to see, because a little while ago, like you say, it was just the guys in white and whatever in the league thing, blah blah blah. Yeah, it's been going on for a long time, and it's just a traditional part of Yorkshire and all British life. But now people are, they're far more, they really are good community institutions, aren't they? Like, at all levels. And of course, that spins off into, well, where we're going to have James's birthday party,
Yeah,
like a
absolutely.
wedding
No, it
reception,
does.
and all
Yeah,
that kind of thing.
I mean, I think people who don't know cricket at all would probably be perhaps surprised, maybe not, at the range of stuff that goes on. I obviously I'm all over that in terms of seeing what clubs are doing, as well as in the off season, away from sort of games and the nuts and bolts of playing cricket, the social side, whether, it's, I don't know, a famous snooker player that's coming, or obviously lots of other non-sporty stuff that taps into the community. And there's always a lot going on at many, many clubs. I mean, it's great to see. It's great to see. And hopefully
Is
when it stops raining, which it, a bit like you, it isn't here at the moment, so I'll take that.
nice and sunny here. It's like
It's
the
well, in my head it's the Bahamas.
Bahamas.
I can imagine it, but I can see the trees being smashed a bit. No, I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be a great summer. And
Excellent.
yeah, th thanks for talking to me about what you do. Obviously,
You're
I've been
very
writing about
welcome.
it, but people at cricket clubs who, I appreciate this stuff doesn't happen overnight. You've got to meet, you're going to have a chat, there's committees, as you say, funding and what else is going on at the club that we might need to think about. They're listening to this. Have a look at British Recycled Plastic. Obviously, talk to me if you want, and consider that as an option if you haven't thought about it before, for hopefully a lot of the reasons we've talked about.